We don't have many stories about Jesus as a child. We hear of his birth. Then 8 days later, we hear that he's circumcised, which is important because he's already keeping the law and shedding his blood as your Savior. Now, last Sunday in our gospel lesson, we heard of his first trip to the temple when he was 40 days old, again to fulfill the law as your Savior. Now we have this story of Jesus when he's 12 years old. It's a story that raises as many questions as it gives answers. But that's okay. You see, it's an alarming thing about Christianity these days that many think we have to understand everything that the Savior is thinking and doing, when instead there are times where we should simply stop and wonder gratefully that he's doing it at all. It's the Passover feast. And Passover is one of the pilgrimages, festivals. So like all faithful believers, as we heard in the Sunday school this morning, believers of time in the video, Mary and Joseph make the trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate and remember. Jesus is 12 years old, on the verge of manhood. While they are there, they doubtless take part in the ceremonies, sacrifice a lamb, and properly observe the supper, because Jesus is always keeping the law to be your Savior. When the festivities have ended, they begin the journey back to Nazareth in a caravan of friends and relatives and other sojourners. And Mary and Joseph assume that somewhere in that parade, Jesus is in the group as well. Why wouldn't he be? He has literally been the perfect child ever since he was born. He is, by nature, sinless. He's always obedient, always courteous, always responsible. He always does the right things. But the sinless Jesus is not in the group. He has strayed behind in Jerusalem. And Mary and Joseph don't realize it until they've traveled a day away. That means another day of travel back before the search can begin, probably wondering if Jesus began the journey home and somehow got lost or got kidnapped in between. Then they spend another day combing the city, trying to find their son. Not just any son. Mary and Joseph have lost the Son of the Most High God. We don't know where all they look. But when they find him, they probably realize they should have looked there the very first thing. He's at the temple, sitting among the teachers. Sitting, not standing as a pupil normally would. He's asking them the questions. He's not shy about giving answers, and all are amazed at what he has to say. The best and the brightest of Jerusalem's theologians, they're astonished at the wisdom of this 12-year-old boy from Nazareth, a town known less for higher education and for more about the smell of the fish on the streets. Mary appears less than impressed with the dialogue, and you can hear the anxious relief in her voice. She's been missing her son for 3 long days, and there's likely a lot of emotion as she says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." It's here that we get the only recorded words of Jesus in his childhood. He responds, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Now, to be perfectly honest, that's not quite what he says, which is why you have some translations quoting Jesus is saying, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" The Greek sort of includes both. And the best translation is probably something like, did you not know that I must be about the things of my Father? In any event, the only time we hear Jesus speak in the first 30 years of his life, he speaks to make clear that he has come to do the will of his Father the Most High, God. Mary and Joseph, they don't understand what he's saying, but Mary at least will ponder these words in her heart. Then they depart back to Nazareth, and Jesus is back to being his submissive, obedient self to them. For the next 18 years, he increases in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. As I said before, this is a story that raises as many questions as it gives answers. What does the 12-year-old Jesus know? How much of the plan of salvation is unfolded in his mind as he speaks with the priests? When he tells his parents that he's going about the things of his Father, is he talking about a conversation with teachers, or is he referring to the cross? I bring up these questions to tell you that we don't really know. There will be some who will state in definite words that the boy, Jesus, knows only as much as a 12-year-old boy could know, because he has emptied himself of divinity, of his divinity. And there will be some who will tell you that this 12-year-old boy sees all things crystal clear because he's the Son of God. The first is wrong, and the second is uncertain at best. What we can say is that Jesus is fully God and fully man at all times from his conception onward. We can't know how those divine and human natures interact, but we do know that it's a both and, not an either or. In other words, we don't look at Jesus and say, is he God or man when he does this? In everything he does, he's always both God and man. For instance, remember the baby Jesus in the manger? Because he's God, he's busy sustaining all things and giving life to all the living. Because he's man, he's going to starve if Mary doesn't pick him up and nurse him at her breast. Because he's God, his right hand and his holy arm rule over all things. Because he's man, he's still developing hand-eye coordination and will probably poke himself in the eye before the days are over. It's not either or, but both and. Like the 12-year-old Jesus, as God, he knows all things, so it's no surprise that he can school the teachers at the temple. As man, he grows in wisdom. He learns from the teachers in the conversation. It doesn't make sense. It's a mystery beyond our understanding, and it's not a puzzle to be solved. It's not for you to know the mind, that mind of God. And it's certainly not for you to say that it can't be true, just because you can't wrap your mind around it. But here's what you can wrap your mind around. Jesus is going about the things of his Father. And you see this beginning to take shape here. Mary and Joseph seem to perceive this as disobedience. But that's because, well, in part, they've been worried sick, but probably also because they expect Jesus to act according to their expectations. Sooner or later, though, he's not going to be the obedient carpenter's kid of Nazareth, because he wasn't conceived by the Holy Spirit to make furniture. Sooner or later, he's going to leave home and do what his Father in heaven has sent him here to do. That time hasn't come yet, but this story foreshadows it. And the foreshadowing is strong. In this story, at the time of the Passover, Mary and Joseph have brought the Passover lamb to Jerusalem, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's not yet time for him to be the final sacrifice so that God might deliver his people. But he's there, and while you don't know what runs through his mind as he sees the lamb sacrificed or while he eats the Passover meal, you do know that these things all point to him. 20 years after this, at the time of the Passover, Jesus will return. He'll enter the city as part of a throng. And this time the crowds will see him and hail him as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He will return to the temple, to teachers who now oppose him because their fearful hearts won't bear his wisdom. And rather than learn from him, he will cleanse the temple so that it might be a house of prayer once more. At that Passover, he will be lost again for 3 days. But rather than fearful that he might be dead, Mary and all will be certain that he is dead, that is. Everyone in Jerusalem will see that he's nailed on the cross until he gives up his spirit. Then he's laid in a tomb with a stone rolled across the front of it. For those 3 dark, anguished days, they will not know what you know. All of these things are the things of his Father. All of this is according to plan, and all of this is for your salvation. All of this adds to the mystery. God doesn't die and man doesn't rise from the dead unless it's God doing the raising. But Jesus, always fully God and fully man, does both. The Lord Jesus Christ is constant in his Father's will. And risen from the dead, that hasn't changed at all. He's still about the things of his Father. And together with the Holy Spirit, they're all about your salvation. The eternal Son of God joins you to his death in baptism, while at the same time being the Son of Man who joins you to his resurrection. You're not divine and never will be, but the one who is both God and man joins you to himself so that his holiness is your holiness, his love is your love, and he even gives you credit for his perfect obedience, even as he has made your sin his sin, your guilt his guilt, your shame his shame, and taken all away to the cross. His home is your home as well. Where he is, you will be as well. 12-year-old God sits in the temple, the lamb on his way to the final Passover. He's in his Father's house so that you might dwell in his house forever. How greatly he must love you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website, The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.